Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you all here to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study in our lives. I want to talk about rejoicing in life's reverse. Rejoicing in life's reverse. The word reverse means to move back. We have reverse in our automobiles, and there's times we have to back up and just start over again. Sometimes life moves us back. We didn't plan to move backwards, but it happens. In Paul's life, we can see that it reversed. But Paul still rejoiced in God's being in the Lord no matter what happened. He could rejoice in the Lord. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 18. Philippians chapter 1 verses 12 through 18. And Paul taught the Philippian brethren to rejoice, and the Philippian brethren taught other brethren to rejoice, even though we have things that happen in our lives. In Philippians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 12, Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul is saying it's not really a bad thing, even though it happened to me. He had a focus on saving the souls of men, and even if things happen to him, that's okay, he was saying. "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." We can see here that Paul's courage inspired others. Even though he went through, had a hard time, I call it a hard time, and he was put in jail for preaching the truth, the Philippian brethren, we see, they were bold. They're in 14. And they spoke the word without fear. They didn't let that stop them. They didn't have the attitude. Now, they done already put Paul in jail. And if we keep preaching this, we might go to jail. They didn't let none of that stop them. They continued to do the will of God, even though Paul was in jail. But look at verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife." Envy, ill will, or a disposition to injure one. That's what envy means. Strife is quarreling and carrying on. "And some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chains. So Paul was saying there are those who were preaching for the wrong reason. Some would preach for prestige. Some would preach for popularity, as we read the Bible. And some would preach even for the money. But Paul said it didn't make no difference about that. Even though people may preach for the wrong reason, Christ is still being preached. He had a good attitude towards things that basically he couldn't really control, but only himself. But look at verse 17. "But the latter out of love." He says some preach for the wrong motive and all of that. "But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." Sometimes, and I'll read verse 18 here in a few minutes. Paul was saying, even though they may be preaching for the wrong reason or whatever, one man, a preacher, he said, the only thing he can do is preach. He said he couldn't, never worked on a secular job in his life. The only thing he could do is just to preach. And that's true about some. And sometimes people, men, they preach but they don't practice that preaching. And we find in the Bible, even though men may preach and don't practice that, if they're preaching the truth, we have to obey that. We have to obey it. I believe in Matthew 23, I'm not going to turn over that over there, but it says, in the paraphrase, if they're preaching the truth, you have to obey what they're saying, but don't follow their example, Matthew 23, for they say and do not. So Paul is saying, even though they're preaching, they're not putting it to practice, they're preaching the truth, you have to obey that part of it, but don't follow the example. And of course, people that do that, we have to deal with them in God's way. But look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Paul is saying it doesn't matter whether they're doing it pretense or in truth, Christ is being preached. And I'm going to rejoice in that, is what he says here. Paul is trying to persuade, to urge God's people to react positively to the hurts of life. To react in a positive way to the hurts of life. We're going to see that he was physically hurt, but he still had that good attitude. We're going to see that, man, he was whipped, but he still had a good attitude. He was put in jail, but he still had a good attitude. And the Philippian brethren, Paul taught them to rejoice in the Lord. And the Philippian brethren, after Paul taught them, they taught others to rejoice in the Lord. And so let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 4. There's a lot to Christianity in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen to what Paul says here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And when Paul wrote this, he was in jail. I hope I would have a good attitude if they put me in jail. And I could, still go ahead and maybe teach some people in jail and still rejoice, because we have to do this because we're in the Lord. Let's keep our focus on being in the Lord. Now watch these points that I have. It is relatively easy to rejoice when things are going well. It's easy to do that. It's easy to rejoice when things are going well, when my bank account is pretty good and got a good cushion. It's easy to rejoice when all my bills are being paid and nobody's bothering me. It's easy to rejoice. I remember on the secular job, it was easy to me rejoice when the boss wasn't on my heels. But what about when he's on my heels? Can I rejoice then? And I remember being on third shift, and he would call me up, and knowing I had to work all night long, said, "Will you come in the morning? I want to see you." I mean, what this man want to see me about? And here I am thinking about that all night. And then when I get there, it wasn't what I thought it was or whatever, and dealt with some things. But it is relatively easy to rejoice when things are going well. But what about times when we have troubles? What about times when we have troubles, hurts, and disappointments in life? Can we rejoice in these? Can we rejoice in the Lord when we have troubles, we have hurts, we have disappointments in life? In the face of disappointments and oppositions, Paul could rejoice. He was godly. This could be one of the more valuable lessons for us from this book. This book Paul saying rejoice. Help from hurts. Philippians chapter 1 and look at 12 there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. And like I said, even though Paul was in prison, he had brethren that kept preaching. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to all, to the whole palace guard, and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, he said most of them, not all of them, but most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold, which means confident, to speak the word without fear. And we know other scriptures tells us that Jesus says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God didn't give us no fear. If I'm fearful, it's me. If you're fearful, it's you, because he didn't give it to us. Paul was a prisoner of Christ. Paul had helped the gospel. He had helped brethren with preaching the gospel, and Paul was just a remarkable man. He was an apostle, but he was a man. And he had feelings just like you and I had. When he got whipped, he could feel the pain. Whatever they did to him, he could feel that. Paul was a prisoner of Christ. He had been attacked in Jerusalem. Acts 21 and 31. Let's look at this. I thought about that. What about somebody I'm coming to somewhere and going to do some preaching? Two or three brethren attacked me. You're not going in that building. You know, you're not going. We're not going to let you go. What kind of attitude would I have? Would I go back and attack them? Paul didn't do that. Acts 21, 31. We just have to let the law handle situations. If you guys don't let me in here, I'm going to have to call the police. But I still have to keep the right attitude. Acts 21, 31. Listen to what he says here. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stooped, beating Paul for preaching the truth. You would think, why would people want to do that? They want to put a stop to this preaching. But guess what? Men have tried it through generations, and you cannot stop it. You cannot stop it. And the word of God is living and active, is powerful. You cannot stop it. His life was threatened. Look at Acts 23 and verse 11. His life was threatened. In Acts 23 and verse 11, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. He was threatened. And even though we may be threatened, we still have to do the right thing. Always remember to do the right thing. And of course, we know that he was a prisoner in Rome. If you look at Acts 28 and verse 16, he was a prisoner in Rome. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Paul was a prisoner in Rome. What would be your attitude if they put you in prison for teaching the word of God? When we are threatened, do the right thing. Just have to do the right thing. Anytime we always remember to do the right thing no matter what. The things that had happened to Paul had furthered the gospel. Philippians 1:12, you remember we read that just a few minutes ago. Just because things happen to us, it doesn't mean that good can't come out of those things. Remember, I think the book of Romans talks about all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are of the call. And the things that happen to us should make us stronger if we keep our focus where it needs to be. The word furtherance, progress, American Standard Version, is a compound word in the original and literally means to cut forward. To cut forward. That's what it means. A pioneer could cut his way forward towards brush. Those soldiers and all of that and pioneers, and they knew how to cut. They didn't let that stuff stop them. They would cut through that stuff. Paul's imprisonment had cleared the way for the spread of the gospel. Him being in prison, it still cleared the way for the spread of the gospel. Those brethren got out, the Philippians, they got busy, and they still was preaching the word. Paul's courage inspired others. We got to have some courage. We got to have courage. Our children are watching us. If we don't have courage, children are watching us. Brethren, we're watching each other. We've got to learn to have some courage. Joshua was a man who had courage, and he wouldn't back it down. He wouldn't back down. He had courage. God can turn the reverse of life into reasons for rejoicing. We ought to be rejoicing. Why? We're in the Lord. We almost done. Examples. A brother who lost all his material things said, he lost it all. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It brought me back to that which is important in life, God. He lost it all. We know Job lost it all. See, we can lose it all, but we still got God. An Aaron brother, that's one who had fallen away. An Aaron brother was by cancer surgery impressed with the importance of being right with God. He was restored. His sickness brought him to God. Isn't that something? It took that to bring him to God, but it brought him back to God. Had fallen away from the faith and doing his own thing the way he wanted to do it. And he caught cancer, but it brought him back to God. Whatever it takes to drive me to God is good. Paul was in bonds, chains. And sometimes we ask ourselves, are any of us in bonds? A wheelchair, a hospital, confined by a job, confined at home. Of course, I know everyone here, and we're not. And we can just count our blessings because God, He's been good to all of us. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And I'll bring it to a close. We always want to extend the invitation for those out there who are not Christians. God's plan is not going to change. It's not going to change. I was doing some personal work back years ago when I lived over on Shannon Way and up and down College View, I think it was, and handing out tracts and things of that nature. And there was a Baptist preacher on the other side. And I noticed he kept watching me. He kept watching me. So he finally came over and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm handing out tracts, trying to invite people to church. He said, what church do you go to? I said, I go to the Church of Christ. He said, oh yeah, y'all believe that baptism saves you. I said, yes, sir, I would believe that. I said, Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I know it's what it says, but you don't have to be baptized to be saved. I said, well, that's what the book says. I said, I don't have time to deal with you. I just told him. I don't care to have a study with you, but Jesus said, he who believes now and is baptized shall be saved. Gave him a few scriptures. Acts 2:38, Peter told the Jews on Pentecost to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us 3,000 souls were added. I said, all I can do, sir, is give you what Jesus said in the scriptures. I'm not going to argue with you. And I said, you have a great day. And I kept doing what I needed to do. For people who are not Christian, you must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you will perish. Got to repent. That means change your mind and actions towards wrong. You're going in the wrong direction, turn around and get in the right. Repent. Need to confess Christ before man, Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. We can't make people do these things. That's why I told the Baptist preacher, I don't have time to deal with you if you don't believe the scriptures. And then we have to be baptized. Romans 6. We go down into the watery grave of baptism and have the old man crucified, come up out of the water, we're brand new creatures. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Don't need to call on the Lord unless after baptism. And so we have the gospel. We preach it until the day we die. People don't believe it. That's not my fault. It's my job just to preach it. And it's not my attitude, well, I'm not going to go talk to that person because they're not going to believe. Well, if I never talk to them, I need to go if I have the opportunity. If they never heard it from me, and if I have the opportunity, I need to go try. Congregation got churches full of people. And they refuse, as individuals, to try to convert the laws. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job. We have that opportunity. At least invite people. Try. And Jesus invited people that we probably wouldn't even look at. But he did, didn't he? And the woman at the well had 5 husbands. Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have no husband. He said, you have well said you have no husband. You have had 5 husbands. And the one that you're with is not your husband. So she had 5 husbands and was living with a man. I'd probably turn around and walk away. There's something to think about, isn't it? If you are a Christian, you have fallen away, please come back to the faith while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.